This is the Mountain Muse, and I'm Emmy DeGrappa. Today we are talking to founder and chief catalyst of Elevated Ideas, Nate Verberg. Welcome, Nate.
Hi, Emmy. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us. When did you start your business, Elevated Ideas?
It was initially founded in 2000 under a different name, primarily because we weren't marketing it at that time. We had no need to market it. We had so much business that it really wasn't about marketing. And it was only a number of years later, actually 2008, when someone said, you know, I know that you've operated your whole business on a referral basis, but why don't you make it available to other companies? Why don't you actually have a name that's actually marketable? And I thought, well, hey, let's do that. And so Elevated Ideas just seemed like a natural fit given what we do. We are involved in industry disruption. So we work with a number of different companies that are looking to identify new market space rather than just continue to compete for their share of a certain pie. We show them how to create either a new pie or expand the one that already exists. We are taught in business school how to compete, you know, how essentially a war strategy to fight over certain market territories. And so we're really set up to look at business that way. And that's why competition becomes the main focus. And that works in military strategy because you're talking about a constant piece of ground. You're talking about something with boundaries that are fixed. In business, nothing is constant. It's always evolving and changing. So why do we use the same strategy that they use in the military when we're looking to create new markets for our business? We all look at what someone else in that particular industry is doing to set up the framework of how we're going to do our business. And instead, why don't we just start from scratch? Wipe the canvas clean and look at the business from a fresh perspective.
What was it in your background that led you to this business strategy that you're helping other companies explore? How did you start down that road?
It started working with a number of different companies. The intent was never, again, to do exactly what we do now. It's just we had come up with some ideas. Particularly, there were a couple really big successes we had in businesses in industries that we just saw things differently. We came into those industries. As an example, one of those industries was the food business, particularly in the olive oil business. And we recognized how everyone in that industry seemed to think very regionally. There was no one at the time saying we need to be supply everyone in the country. Rather, it was someone saying, you know, we are the importer and distributor for New York. We are the importer and distributor for Los Angeles, San Francisco, so on. And I recognized that why doesn't anyone just identify themselves as a national company, as a national supplier? There was nobody doing that. And so we came up with a business model of what we could do. We did not create a business plan, a traditional. We just came up with something that we felt would work. And I approached someone who was actually in the importing business and asked them if they would be willing to consider working with me on this project. And the response after hearing exactly what we could do, he said, you know, I've been in this business longer than you've been alive. That'll never work.
Wow.
So I said, well, would you be willing to let us give it a go, even if it's not going to work? And he said, you can do whatever you want, and I'll import the product. You just go do what you're going to do. And it took off, and it really changed the game and nationally. Companies that just had done things a certain way for so long, we shook it all up because all of a sudden they couldn't just do it that way anymore because we were taking all of their business because we had efficiencies that we had created. We also looked at inefficiencies in the business model. And as a simple example, whenever you mention the word olive oil, everyone is immediately thinking retail and bottles in the stores. We looked at it and said, you know, bottling is probably one of the most inefficient things you can do. You have your packing lines, your employees that you need for that particular operation. And I thought, you know, what if we just focused on the wholesale business? What if we just focused on bakeries and manufacturers that, you know, where if you have a bottle of salad dressing and you look on the back and it says extra virgin olive oil, somebody supplied that to that company. And so we thought, what if we just focused on that? That would cut our overhead way down, therefore increasing our margins and our ability to offer a better price to our clients or customers. And as a result, we grew and grew and grew. And the bigger we got, the more competitive we were able to be with our buying power as well. So it really just it shook everything up too, because so many of the companies that we were quote unquote competing with, they could no longer compete because they still had all the packaging and bottling, and they had all those lines and 50 employees under one roof, and we had three. But we were doing more volume than many companies in the United States with three employees. So obviously we were able to operate a lot more efficiently.
And that was the beginning of your company, Elevated Ideas?
Yes. So then there were a number of companies. Actually, that one worked so well, a number of companies actually came to me and said, hey, would you take a look at our business and see if there's any way that we could break out of what we're competing in. And so I actually did a lot of those jobs for friends and I didn't charge them because I didn't need the money. I just was happy to help them out. And so I would do this. And it was a number of years later, I was with a really close friend of mine in New York. And he said, we were walking down the street one day and he said, you know, that idea you gave us back 6 years ago or something. And this is a global consulting firm that he's the CEO of. And he says, you know, that idea that you gave us a few years back. And he says, that idea you had was the single we experienced the most growth we've ever experienced in our company's history by implementing what you told us to do. And he said, have you ever considered starting a company that actually helps businesses break out of their market space? And I said, no. And then he said, well, you really should. And that was a number of years prior to even really establishing Elevated Ideas. But a seed was planted. And over time, I've had many more opportunities where we broke out of market space that didn't seem like there was a way to do it. And I'm challenged all the time. People say, well, oh, yeah, well, what about this industry? Could you do it in this industry? And I say, well, we actually have. And so we do. And by the way, some of the greatest breakthroughs we find are in industries that we've never been involved in, that we have no experience in. And it could be a combination of things. I think a fresh perspective that we haven't been taught all the rules in that industry. We don't know what the common thinking is on how the industry's done. So we can walk into it with this fresh lens of just, it's all brand new to us. And so sometimes it's even in a very short period of time, we're able to come up with ideas like that because we don't have a preconceived idea of how that industry is supposed to operate.
That's excellent. Where do you see this going? How are you going to continue growing your business and helping businesses break out of their market? Do you see that the sky's the limit, or?
Well, it's certainly the limit. At the moment, we're unrivaled in what we offer. And I think if we're going to help companies differentiate themselves and disrupt, I feel that we also need to do the same. And, you know, it's easy for companies to go, oh, you guys are just another consulting firm. And that was something that it's definitely said in with a negative connotation, that I know many people in consulting and I have the highest respect for their industry and what they do. But I do understand where some people have had consultants that have come in and made them feel like the business they're running is somewhat, maybe they're not doing as well as they could. And so there's just sometimes a negative connotation that comes along with traditional consulting. And I thought, you know, how could we distinguish ourselves so we are not put into that same category? And so we actually don't identify ourselves as consultants.
Nate, if you don't identify yourself as a consultant, how would you describe yourself? What makes you different than a consulting firm, per se?
You know, it's a good question. When years ago, I had actually been a part of one of the big, well-known consulting firms. And while there's many great people in that organization and they do deliver tremendous value, one of the things that I saw, and I think this is certainly maybe not a bad thing, but one of the things that I always noticed is that the focus of the company never seemed to be about how can we deliver the most value to our client as quickly as we can so that we can move on to working with the next company. It always seemed to be, how could we increase our billable hours and how can we get more employees on that client site? And how long can we drag this out? And I always just looked at that model and I thought, are you really doing what's in the best interest of the client, or are you just fulfilling your own bottom line? I mean, are you just building up your own bottom line? Is that all we're doing here, is just trying to suck as much out of each client that we can, you know? And so I looked at that and I thought, you know, if we're going to go down this path with elevated ideas and we're not going to be a traditional consultant, how are we going to differentiate ourselves so that we're not looked at that way? And one of the I had been looking at, you know, some different models that some companies had brought up, and they were marketing, you know, hey, we're success based, and if we don't perform to such level, we'll refund part of your money. And so I think the intent is right. But I was challenged by someone one day. They said, I was walking through the business model when I was starting Elevated Ideas, and I was walking through the model with them, and they said, how many companies have you worked with? And at that time, I think there were like 22 different companies that we had really broken open some new market space for. And he said, how many of those have you not been able to come up with something for? And I said, you know, never. I said there were two companies that I never engaged because I felt they were in such dire situation that it just wasn't the right thing for us to be a part of what they were doing. But everyone else that we actually really did engage with and begin working with as a client of ours, every single one of them, we had been able to do that. And he says, why don't you offer a 100% guarantee that if we come into a company – and we are not able to break open a new market for them, that we'll give them 100% of their money back, including all the time and hours that we've put into developing it. If they don't feel that it's something that is going to take them to the next level, we'll give them all their money back. And that really became something that separated us. I've never even seen anyone else come up with or be willing to take that risk. And it's a huge risk on our part because we can spend a lot of time and a lot of hours on a particular company's new direction. It's not always a new direction. Sometimes just a different way of seeing what they're already currently doing. And we're really at risk of them coming back and saying, we don't think it'll work. Or they feel that based on their experience, which, as I mentioned, I've been down that road, someone saying they've been in the industry so long that your idea will never work. We also run that risk. So even if our idea is a grand slam and it's something that's going to really differentiate them in the market and they're not going to have to take a bunch of new capital on, I mean, you know, if they don't see it for what it is, that's a risk that we are assuming, that we take that risk on. So there is certainly risk on our part, but since that time, we've never had a client that's asked for any money back, and we've been able to deliver every time. We're also very particular when we first work with a company with ensuring that it's going to be the right fit. We do spend a considerable amount of time getting to know the company and what they're about and how they think, and are they going to be willing to take on a new project and a new idea, because we'll be the first ones to say, we don't feel it's a good fit. If we don't feel that they're going to be able to accept whatever we bring, I mean, again, the risk is on our shoulders, so we need to be able to ensure that they're going to be able to see whatever we do bring.
Who are some of the thought leaders that have influenced your business practices?
You know, it's changed over the years because I think, you know, with new technologies developing, I think we have incredible access now to people and the way they think. So even with new social media companies, it could be someone with Twitter like Jack Dorsey, or it could be, I mean, Richard Branson with the Virgin Group, certainly. And it's not so much the particular business ideas with Richard Branson, for example. It's the way he values people, whether they're customers or employees. And so I think there's different things that we can learn from everyone. There can be these thought leaders in particular fields. I know obviously someone that many look to today is, like, you know, even though he's no longer with us, but Steve Jobs. You know, we look at his iPhone talk in 2007 when he introduced the first iPhone, and it's a spellbinding talk that he gave, you know, introducing the iPhone. And I think that there's definitely those leaders as well. Each one we do learn different things from.
What advice are you do you think you would give a young person who's starting out on a road to start a business or try something new? What advice was given you, and what inspired you?
You know, I think it was less about the advice. I certainly was raised in a good home and had a family that believed in me. But they didn't give any, or it wasn't a particular bit of advice per se. I think it was just the encouragement from many around me that, you know, you can do whatever you set your mind to. Kind of, there was a lot of that. While it might not have been said directly like that, it was certainly an encouragement that, you know, you've got this gift. And I think there's so many people with incredible gifts that I think we all have them, in whatever that may be. And I think I'm really fortunate to have had people around me that saw a gift, and it happened to be the gift that I was good at and passionate about. So they just encouraged me to pursue that.
What do you think your gift is?
Seeing things differently, particularly because we're involved with differentiation and disruption. We really have to see things differently. And much of my life has been unconventional or not the traditional path that most go down. And so as a result, you know, we all have different experiences in life. Many of those things have shaped how I see the world, or how, you know, I feel like many people just are operating from the same playbook. Maybe because they learned something in school and it just connected with a big group. And so it's everyone kind of goes along with this is how things are done. And I like to look at things with a fresh perspective and throw out playbooks and rules and how things have always been done, and start afresh. And it's really hard to do because the world is still framed around us. We still, and as much as I want to say that I always do that, I don't. I have to really work at that as well. Even though it is a gift to be able to see things differently, it's also something you have to work at, because every day we do go along with the herd. We go along with what everyone else is doing.
How you get people to trust in you, that they're willing to work with you as well. I mean, you said you're particular about who you work with, but also, you know, it's the other side of it too, because people are paying you and you have your 100% guarantee. But, you know, I think the hours that you put into those relationships that, you know, no one gets paid for, right? On both sides. I guess just how do you think you earn people's trust? Are they strangers? Are they people that you've worked in, you know, with in the past? Or how do they come to you, basically?
First of all, there is within me that desire to really connect with people. And I would say it's not fueled by, is this somebody that I can eventually use down the road? Is this person of value to me because of what I do for a living? Or, you know, and I know that's, you tend to look at people through a lens of, well, this person that I just met, I mean, they're in a completely different socioeconomic situation. This isn't somebody that's going to add value to my business or my life or my family. But we can't look at people that way. And I've really, much of my life, worked at just really giving just as much value in my life to those people that could possibly add, or that have no ability to add any value to my life. And so when we meet with a company, for example, or I don't like to even call it a company because they're people, we look at them as people. And whether or not we're ever going to work together, that's our motive, is to see them as people. So it's a very comfortable meeting because we're not trying to make something happen. We're there to get to know them. And if there's a good fit, then we'll proceed at their – it's going to be their decision. And so – but I think they need to know that you're genuine. And you can't fake genuineness. You have to – it has to be real, because people can see right through it. And that really is probably the greatest component, is being able to look them in the eye. And if you're for real, they'll see that. If you're not, they'll see that.
Are you growing?
We are. We've actually gone from just helping companies do this, because we've had the reason we had this whole foundation in the first place is because we did it with our own companies. And then we were, like I mentioned earlier, encouraged to offer this to other companies as a byproduct, really, of what we used to do with our own companies. And we've seen so many opportunities along the way that right now we're actually very engaged in some new things that we're actually doing as far as disrupting some new industries ourselves that we've never been involved in, that we are actually not working alongside another company. We see some opportunities that aren't being capitalized upon. And so we've changed our focus as well. We still have just as much focus with the companies that we work with, but we've also added a component where we actually go into new spaces ourselves. We do not go into spaces that our clients are in, because we do not want to create a conflict of interest in any way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Nate.
Likewise,
Thank you.
Emmy.
Thank you so much. This is The Mountain News, and I'm Emmy DeGrappa.